Good morning. I am super excited to continue the messages on Ephesians that we've been talking about. Andy kicked us off a couple weeks ago and kind of gave an overview of Ephesians. And if you didn't get a chance to look at that, you should. I love those kinds of messages that are super interesting, go over some historical context. They just have a lot of fun stuff in them. So he set us off in a good spot. And then Mark kicked us off with talking about the deep prayer that Paul had in the very beginning, in the second half of chapter 1, to really set a context and support the believers in Ephesus. And so while generally I'll be coming with a little disclaimer when I start my messages, that's common enough for me, I'm going to switch it up a little bit and come with an apology instead, because what I'm talking about today is actually going to precede Mark's a little bit. And my hope is it'll actually give some context, some further context, and encourage what he was sharing too, because that's really where the Lord inspired me as I was preparing for the message today. So that being said, I'm going to read from Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 through 14 in the New Living Translation. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ. Even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. So we praise God for the glorious grace he has poured out on us who belong to his dear Son. He's so rich in kindness and grace that he purchased our freedom with the blood of his Son and forgave our sins. He has showered his kindness on us, along with all wisdom and understanding. God has now revealed to us his mysterious will regarding Christ, which is to fulfill his own good plan. And this is the plan. At the right time, he will bring everything together under the authority of Christ, everything in heaven and on earth. Furthermore, because we are united with Christ, we have received an inheritance from God. For he chose us in advance, and he makes everything work out according to his plan. God's purpose was that we Jews, who were the first to trust in Christ, would bring a praise and glory to God. And now you Gentiles have also heard the truth, the good news that God saves you. And when you believed in Christ, he identified you as his own by giving you the Holy Spirit, whom he promised long ago. The Spirit is God's guarantee that he will give us the inheritance he promised and that he has purchased us to be his own people. He did this so that we would praise and glorify him. Okay, there's a lot of really great meat in that first section of chapter 1. And what I want to emphasize and bring out is especially a few things that Paul is really repetitive about as he goes through there. Because there's definitely a few things in particular that he says time and time again in one fashion or another. Now, I have my notes on the app. And so some of this I'm going to go through pretty quickly. So if you're not able to write them down quick enough, you'll be able to see it on there. So don't stress out about it from that point. You can always go check it out. So the first thing that I noticed that Paul emphasizes is that God loved us and chose us before we were even physically present in this world, meaning his love was there from the very beginning. It was there when we were just a concept, before we were a concept. It was there before we even had the chance to love him back or agree with his will or choose to receive him. Like, his love was there from the very beginning. That shows up in verse 4, 5, 7, 11, and 13. He's repetitive about saying that. Next, we are united with, or kind of bound together with, Christ, who's ultimately sovereign. We've been included with Christ in the favor that the Father gives. We've been almost in a sense made inseparable with Christ because of what we've received in him. He talks about that in verse 3, 5, 6, 10, 11, 13. He's repetitive about how we are together with Christ. So he keeps going into these things because the point of repetition when you're trying to communicate something is because you really want it to sink in. You really want to set the tone. And that's, I think Paul has intention of doing that in getting into this letter to the Ephesians to give a context for the rest of it. Another thing that Paul brings up is the generosity of God, what God has given us. This comes up in verse 3, 5, 6, 7, 8, 11, 13. Again, very repetitive. And he says, just in the very least, all these things that he gave us, every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms, a place in God's family, glorious grace poured out, the richness of his kindness, forgiveness of sins, wisdom and understanding, an inheritance from God, identification as his own, and a guarantee of his end of the deal via a deposit. In other words, like that we were given the Holy Spirit to guarantee his end of the deal. Like, to say the very least, he's been generous. Like, I don't know a base in life that that doesn't cover in some fashion. 2 Peter 1, 3 through 4 says, "By his divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. We've received all of this by coming to know him, the one who called us to himself by means of his marvelous glory and excellence. And because of his glory and excellence, he has given us great and precious promises. These are the promises that enable you to share his divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desires." Okay, so Paul is putting all this together, and he's trying to build a case or set a tone or set the stage for what he's going to be talking about through the rest of the letter. And ultimately, like, summing all of that up, he's saying, like, God loved us so much and chose us because nothing pleases him more than being with us, so much so that he made those of us who believe inseparable with Christ. And on top of that, he's been generous in unfathomable ways in everything we could possibly need. Paul has set the stage in the first chapter of Ephesians by creating a context of the character of God. He's saying, hey, before we go and we talk about things like calling, purpose, identity, unity, anointing, spiritual warfare, before we talk about a lot of these really fun subjects and meaningful subjects like purpose is a huge question for life. Before we talk about all of that, let's get a point of reference. Let's say the one who really, really, really cares for you, has loved you even before you were a concept, like has loved you from the very beginning. He has something to say about all of that. And he's shown it by his actions toward us. He's shown it by what he's done. So if we're going to have a conversation like that, we need to listen to him. Let's look to him for those kinds of answers. Okay. And Paul wants us to get this so much that he goes over it and everything up through verse 14. And then in verse 15, he starts into the prayer that Mark went over in the message last week. That was so good, powerful stuff. And when Paul's like, I want you to get this so bad, I'm even going to stop and I'm going to pray for you that you would receive all the things I just talked about. In fact, some of the things he brings up word for word as exactly the same, like he brings all things under the authority of Christ. And some of the things he paraphrases, some of the things he elaborates on, but he wants us to get it so much prior to going in the rest of the letter that he's like, I'm going to say it, then I'm going to take a minute to pray for it and tell you I've been praying for it, and then we'll go into that stuff too. So that's where he's going with all of this, because if he can show us the character of God, then the avenue and the path to trust is going to be a lot easier. Okay, Jesus said the same things, Matthew 6:33, seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. Hebrews 12:1-2, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up, and let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Okay? So Paul has really set a context of God and his expression towards us. And this is super important because even as we, like, to the degree that we understand his love for us, to the degree that we're willing to trust his character towards our lives, is really going to dictate a lot of how much we will receive of the goodness he wants for us. Because if he's offering us a gift, but we're still skeptical to trust him in even just receiving that gift, then we may not get it. We can refuse it. And he's just trying to be generous. That doesn't say anything. Like, if we say no, it doesn't say anything about him. If he's trying to be generous and give it to us, then he has the heart behind it. And so if we're skeptical, that's going to break that trust. Ephesians 2:8 says, God saved you by his grace when you believed. And you can't take credit for this is a gift from God. It required faith. You had to believe. Okay, that's true of our salvation. That's true of all the things that God really wants to instill to bring us a full life. Okay, we have to believe. We have to take that step of faith to do it. So I want to try to do like a little demonstration that I'm hoping will bring a little clarity to what Paul is trying to get across here. And so in this, I'm going to say that I'm going to take the place of the giver, if you will, and then there will be a recipient that I'm just going to pretend is over here. So let's just say that there's a person that I see every week and or every day, and I see that they always need a pen or consistently need a pen. They're always looking to sign something or do something, and they're like, oh, where's my pen? And they don't have a pen. And I think to myself one day, I'm like, you know what? I'm going to give that person a pen. They could use it. If I put myself in their shoes, it would drive me crazy to not have what I needed in that kind of situation. So I've got a pen. I'll give them a pen. So go up to them one day, and me as the giver, I would just say, hey, would you like this pen? Now, I'm making an offer. I'm offering a gift with no strings attached, and it's not even going to like benefit me necessarily. In fact, I'm going to be one less pen out if they say yes, right? So there's really nothing in it for me. Maybe I might feel better about doing something kind, but ultimately, it's because I want something for them. That's why I'm giving it. Now, they're going to have a choice. They're either going to take it or they're not going to take it. And if they choose to receive it, if they choose to receive my gift, then what they're going to have to do is they're going to have to reach out and grab it. It's not that they had to earn the pen. There's, again, no strings attached. I'm offering to give it. But if they want it, they're still going to have to put in the effort to reach out and grab it, to receive it. Now, when they do that, if they choose to reach out and receive it and grab it, then that says that they trusted me at least enough to take a step of faith that I was doing something kind for them and that I didn't have anything manipulative or I wasn't giving them a bad pen or something that was broken and gonna bleed all over them or whatever it might be, right? They had to take a step of faith that my heart was good in the matter. Now, so in that example, like, let me ask you this. What happens if they don't take the gift? Well, I mean, they could have said no and just went on their way, right? Ultimately, all they did was stop something else that could have happened. Like, maybe if they would have received it, then the next time they needed a pen, they might actually have one, right? So ultimately, they stopped something like that from happening. But there's probably a whole lot of things that could have been going through their mind. But regardless of what's going through their mind, if they chose not to receive it, does that say anything about me as the giver? No. I mean, it might say something about what they think about me, but it doesn't actually say anything about me as the giver. I know as the giver that my heart is good in the matter. I know that when I'm trying to give them a gift, like, I put myself in their shoes. I'm trying to just help them out. Like, they don't have to take it. I'm not forcing it on them. I'm not like sticking it in their pockets or whatnot. I'm just offering it to them. I know my intentions are good. My heart is good. I'm being generous. Now, the fact is that I'm clear on where this whole situation is. The recipient is the one that's not clear. They're the ones with the questions. They're the ones asking, why should I take that? Tell me about what you're giving me. Why do you want to give this to me? What are you saying about me? Like, there's so many things that could go through their mind, right? But the fact is that I'm not the one with the question as the giver. They're the one with the question. They're the one that's unsure. And the fact is if they want to receive the gift, if they want to get what the gift is intended for, they're going to have to take a step of faith, even though they haven't reconciled all of that. They're going to have to take a step of faith in order to move forward. Paul is saying the same thing here. He's saying, look, if you will just give credit and believe that the giver is good, that the one who loved you from the very beginning and who loves you still, who's been generous, like, look at all the evidence. Like, he's been kind in every way. He's given you wisdom. He's given you understanding. He's given you provision. He's given you salvation. You know, he's literally canceled your debts. Like, he has nothing but good intention. So if he wants to give you something, even if it's got some funky wrapping paper and it's not what you'd like to see, then trust him. It's a good gift. And you're only going to find out if it's a good gift or not by taking it and doing something with it. Paul is really building a case of why you should trust God in this first bit. And again, he's repetitive in it, and he's more repetitive because he's saying, look, here's how good God is. He loves more than you can fathom. In fact, I want you to get this so much, I'm going to take a minute just in the middle of my letter, and I've been praying for you, and I pray now that you would receive this, that the eyes of your heart would be opened, that you'd be enlightened to the goodness of God in your life, and how great Christ is, that you would see these things so that you can receive this. Because then further into the letter, when we start talking about things like identity, calling, anointing, some of these that are real big questions in life, like purpose, now all of a sudden you have a point of reference, someone who's really caring for you, who's trying to give you the truth. Okay, it's a lot easier for the person who I'm offering the pen to receive that I'm doing something kind if they know I have a good reputation. If I have a good reputation, they're gonna be like, oh yeah, I'll take it. If I have a bad reputation, is that gonna bring questions, right? That's exactly where this is going. And Paul is almost even saying, like, it's going to require faith. Do you have even just enough faith to reach out and grab it and say, I don't have everything reconciled of why that makes sense. I can't explain everything of how it works. Doctrinally, I can't tell you why this should be a certain way, but I have enough faith to believe, God, that your character is what you say it is. Jesus, that you are the Son of God, like you say you are, and that you're still alive, and that you mean well, and you love me. And that I can work off of. He's saying, do you have just that little bit? Because Matthew 17:20, Jesus said, I tell you the truth, if you had faith even as small as a mustard seed, you could say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it would move. Nothing would be impossible. Okay, Paul's saying the same thing. Do you have enough faith, just a little teeny amount of genuine faith, to believe for the greatest questions in your life? Because he wants to give you the gifts. He loves to give you the gifts. Maybe not in the timing you want them, but he's not irresponsible. He hears you, and he will, in his time, address it. I heard a teacher say, and I shared this in the message that I did on study and spiritual disciplines, the answers we're looking for in life are generally not hard to find. They're hard to accept or receive. The answers we're looking for in life are generally not hard to find. They're hard to receive or accept. That's where this is. It takes faith to do that. It takes faith to believe it. And faith is a lot easier when you know that the one that you're trying to trust in has a good reputation and cares for you intimately more than you can fathom. The evidence is there. There's no shortage of evidence. The question comes of, will you believe it in order to see it happen? Guys, faith comes first. It's there's some exceptions to this rule, but in general, the answers you're looking for aren't gonna fully come to your understanding, at least, until after you've already chosen to believe and you've walked in that direction. I mean, I don't care if someone is a Christian, an atheist, an agnostic, has a different belief system, a different faith, whatever it might be, every single human being on this earth makes one step of faith after another every single day. I mean, ultimately, you're going to make choices today to go in and do things that you don't know if that's a good choice or not on this particular day. It may seem like a good choice. It may seem like a logical choice. It may seem like something you just have to do, but you're not going to find out if it was a good choice until after you did it and things played out. Then you can say it was a good choice or it wasn't. That's how it is in every single day of our life. It requires faith. It requires faith. And especially if you have a point of reference, if you fix your eyes on the author and perfecter of your faith, the champion who initiated it, you have a great start to go off of. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to just think about the questions. Let the questions that are deepest in your being, the questions that are biggest in your life right now, like, let those surface in your mind. And I want you to take that question, and I want you to just table it for a sec. Your question is important. In fact, it's probably vital that you reconcile that question. But I want to say, just for now, put it on the table and shift your focus to the author and perfecter of your faith. And just see what happens when you dwell on his character, when you dwell on what he's done for you, even before you had any say in how you'd respond to him. Focus on all of those things Then come back to your question and see what happens with it. Because now you can have a conversation. Now that you have a point of reference, you can have a conversation about purpose. You can have a conversation about identity. You can have a conversation of why things work in this world the way that they do. And you can go there because now you have a point to trust, the point of reference. And it will take faith. So I'm going to pray, Lord, will you please give the people courage and faith to believe what they want to believe and to hope for the things that you have given them hope for, and even just a vision to hope for. Open the eyes of our hearts. Let us see your goodness towards us. Let that be the point of reference for any decision we're going to make. And help us to choose faith to be led by you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, you guys, that's it. I want to just thank you for being a part of the River Church today, joining us on TRC Online. So glad that you could hang out with us via the internet. Hey, if you have any questions, comments, prayer requests, anything that requires some sort of engagement with us, we invite you, and I invite you, comment below. Type in that prayer request, type in that question, that comment. We want to have a relationship, we want to communicate with you, and we just want to know how you're doing. Also, today, if you've given your life to the Lord, we want to pray with you. We want to know what's going on in your life. So let us know. Comment again below and tell us, today I gave my life to the Lord. We want to start with you this great journey, and we want to walk with you in this amazing time. So please do that. Please comment. Let us know what's going on in your life. All right, you guys. Well, hey, again, thanks for being a part of the River Church. Thanks for hanging out with us today. We look forward to seeing you again next weekend at 9 a.m. Take care, you guys, and have an amazing rest of your day.